We're back. Not the we, the royal we, arguably, are back. This is somehow Through the Island, episode 100. And I said he would never be back unless something horrible happened.
Have you said that? Have you said that on the pod?
Yes, I have. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting. You're not going to be welcome to Through the Island alumni night if you keep it up like this. But we got the original co-host in a smaller font, shorter than me in height.
That's true.
We got Mike, corporate Mike, is back for episode 100. How are you, Mike?
I really am doing good, and I'm feeling well, and I think this is going to be a really good podcast. I've been trying to think of guys who had second stints on teams, and it just really was tough. I hate to do this to you. I think about Forsberg coming back to the Avalanche.
Yep. I knew it. I felt it. As soon as you started, I felt it.
What about DiPietro's kind of comeback as well?
When he was like, he had like a couple games with like the Carolina Hurricanes, like AHL team in like training like camp. Yeah. And he got lit up. He didn't make it out of AHL training camp. Yeah. And that's a tough go for a first round pick.
What Islanders' second stints do we have? Matt Martin's a second stint guy.
Randy Robitaille was a guy that had a second stint. I mean, we have a lot of guys who are clamoring for second stints. Beauvillier and Eberle. I feel like once or twice a year in the past couple of years.
Letty came close, I feel like.
Letty came close, and then when you hear he's been scratched a lot. First it was, wow, he's been scratched for the Sharks and they suck, and that's true. And then the Sharks are doing well and he's still not in the lineup, and you're like, I think let's maybe not do this at all.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Sharks have a weird kind of, they have a weird, maybe they make the playoffs as an eighth seed thing going on.
Yeah, no, they're fun to watch. I started working mornings at Trader Joe's, so it was the opposite. Last year, I watched so little of the Islanders in the second half of the season because I was working a lot of 3 to 11 PMs, which was actually nice to be spared from watching from like middle. Basically, this time last year is when I started around Four Nations last year. And so for the last 2 months of that season, I did not catch much live, which was really good, really, really good.
You missed the season that set them up to pick Schaefer.
I missed a lot of it. I mean, yeah, I catch
bits. It was a lottery, but you still have to be a little bit bad to get that pick.
Well, it was funny because I remember I would be in the chat, and it's funny, like looking at the Zoom chat here before we started. It's like, wow, we last recorded a little over a year ago, and like thinking about how checked out I felt as a fan. As reflected in the quality of the podcast, because you know I was carrying some dead weight for a while.
100%. You know, I mean, here's the thing: here's what I've learned away from the podcast, because it is a demanding, strange. It's kind of like our music stuff, where it's kind of a second job, but there's really no rewards that you reap for it, and it can be really stressful. And I think one of the stressful things about you recording at the volume that you like to is you have to zoom into this team for like 2 weeks at a time, when I do think that it's like, when you zoom out, it's easier on your brain to look at the picture too, but you're like fuck, Simon Holmstrom is going through a little bit of a scoring drought right now, like, and that's like, that's weighing on you, and that can be tough. That could be really tough.
It was going to weigh on me no matter what. This podcast is a natural extension. I'd be talking this shit anyway. It is weighing. I mean, part of why I didn't do it after was, it's funny, like the music side of things, part of what you struggled with frequency-wise was the music. And also, it's the mix of music, really, but being an adult, period, trying to keep a roof above your head now, and also having a passion, pursuit, ambition that is atypical and also literally does not put money into your bank account.
No, it takes it out
Takes
a like
out a
you're
lot.
legit. So you're legitimately lucky if the band pays for itself. Honestly, like we're at this point, and honest, I know we're drifting away from hockey a little bit. Our agent in Europe, we don't have one in America. It's because it's a fucking nightmare over here.
Oh, we'll get to
Because we'll get yeah, you know how it is.
that.
You know how it is. The situation is like people don't take risks anymore.
Yep.
Regardless, they recommended me a book called Mood Machine that I think you'll really, really like about how just cursed people's listening habits are, and the world of streaming and how it's impacted all of us. The strange trickle down effect that AI music has on even our genres of music. It's so grim, man.
Well, yeah, your passive interest in music, like the average listen, the accessibility of all of music on one hand is very good to be able to listen to anything you want. However, it has then brought in this background noisification of the entirety of music, which then streamlines directly into AI. And how people don't give a fuck if something is real or not, if it's a real band or not, if it's a
No.
song.
It's
But
all passive listening, like you said. And it's all passive listening. These platforms have essentially zoomed in on playlists, and they've made playlists. They push you to that. It's a fucking nightmare, man. It's like we don't even people our age do not listen to full records anymore. Like
it's crazy.
adults. They don't. There's zero due to complete lack of interest.
It's madness. I mean, well, and I think it's funny though, this frustration that we share. Like I you know, to bring this back to the Islanders, like I in
Yeah,
part
we should.
last year was like the act of putting more time aside, pushing chips in for music. This was the beginning of me doing that for the first time in a real way since I was mid in my mid 20s,
Younger, yeah.
much younger, and instantly, you know, have run into various good like highs and lows of that functionally and whatnot,
Plenty
but
of highs too, yeah.
plenty of highs. But with as it pertains to the island, like I didn't have the time or interest to set aside, you know, an hour and a half a week to talk about the Noah Dobson Tony D'Angelo first power play unit, two defensemen on it. Like I didn't really give a fuck about them lighting up the Minnesota Wild the night before Ovechkin scored. Like I that
So,
didn't move me to come into this. And this pod has been a thing. It started episode 100. Oh, and it's funny. I have to see how much of the lost media from our hockey pod
oh boy.
network, RSS stream, whatever the stream, so much of it has been lost to the ether. I think I might be able to find it, at least some of it, if I remember old password, a password to an old laptop of mine. We will see. But this podcast started during the 2021 shortened year, the year coming out of losing in six to the Lightning. We had nothing to do, and we could show up every week. And it was
Yeah.
kind of funny to do so with a team that it was the Simpsons, Grandpa Simpson, you know, Johnny Unitas. That's a haircut you could set your watch to. The Trots teams were a team that you could set your watch to, and every week was just more or less the same. And you look to now, it is. I would say it's. Now I at least have much more motivation, even with being busier than ever. Now I'm juggling back to juggling two or three jobs while doing the band shit. I've added one more podcast, have a second one on the way.
Oh, that's cool.
But like this Islanders team, I think there are so many little things going on around it that I feel that it's been a very like rewarding time to be a particularly like a psychopathic type of fan of the Islanders. Compared to 5 years ago, it was a little bit maybe easier to trust the results or predict results. This is much more of a ride, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, they play. Okay. It's one of those things where I think that we can get mad at other people for saying it, but we're allowed to say
It's different when it's us.
they played a little bit of a boring style of hockey under Barry Trotz. But it's one of those things that's like when we've talked about it ad nauseum, but it's exciting when you're inside of it. It really is. But I do see the juxtaposition between that and the Patrick Waugh style of coaching, 100%, and the team that they're building. And I mean, it does not hurt to have Matthew Schaefer. I mean, thinking about those rosters back then, even Bo Horvat's probably better than anyone on any of those teams, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, so, and then who's the best player on those teams? Matt Barzal?
Matt Barzal, Matt Barzal is definitely the best. Like I would say, in totality, Brock Nelson probably was, but
Yeah,
Matt
I get what you're saying.
Barzal, I would say it's probably even between those two. But still, what you are talking about. When you're talking about those players and what you're talking about when you're talking about what you are tasking Bo Horvat with, your expectations of Bo Horvat. And I would say how Matt Barzal plays now compared to then. I mean, reflection of the team, of course, but like
Sure.
the higher end is definitely higher now.
There's a little bit of a let's tune in tonight and see what Matthew Schaefer is going to do, not let's tune in tonight and watch our guys go to war. It's like it's so much less a chess game and more it's more open and fun. It is more like checkers. You're bouncing, you're doing the double jump stuff. Sometimes you can go backwards and king yourself, and so it opens up Matt Barzal to be a little bit more. Let's see what Matt Barzal might do this week. And Bo Horvat's an interesting case because he's better than anyone on those teams back then. But he's a little bit more of a guy that you could set your watch to.
Yeah, for sure. In a good, and also I think in a way that
Is exciting in its own way.
yeah, I mean, one of my favorite wins so far this season was the Penguins, the overtime win against the Penguins with Horvat scoring, in part because it was the one game this season where they bailed out Sorokin. Not that he played poorly, but it just, you know, he just was beatable that game. And they were not playing all that great in general in that game, but they weathered it. And then the puck on Horvat's stick for that like basically like half ice breakaway was unbelievable finish. And like you're able to like I you knew when you were watching, you knew where he what like what he was gonna try to do. And it was so exciting to watch it happen.
I would have I'm echoing something Scott said. I do wish that they would have utilized him a little bit more on Team Canada, and I think it would have been a little bit more rewarding. He has a little bit of clutch in him, and he's got that he's I don't see the guy make too many mistakes. He's a real treat to watch, honestly.
Yeah, I mean he did win the faceoff on the Makar goal, so you know,
Yeah, and
can't
for what
blame
it's
him.
worth, he won the faceoff in overtime that he was assigned to get possession. I don't know if it was right before US scored, but it was one of those shifts.
Yeah.
He had to change off, and McDavid or MacKinnon came on for him, I think.
And
Do you?
but Yeah, before we jump into that, I just the one little bit, you know, in our little look back corner here is just at the start of the pod, we both were unmarried men,
That's
and since then, we both, you got married, right?
Yeah, I got married. Yes. And I
You
know you
did.
did. And I
Yeah,
know
I
you
did.
did.
I actually create like I just forgot because I wasn't at your wedding. So that's
Right.
part of why I guess I
You wanted
kind
to clear
of
things up.
yeah, I wanted to clear things up. I just 'cause I forgot because I wasn't there. But what's weird is that it yeah, 'cause like you would have thought like an invite like I didn't get the invite. But I
I think I
guess it, what? Oh, sorry, you were saying so I
No,
just
I don't want to interrupt you.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, I appreciate the respect for me. Yeah, and I invited you too, but I guess it just things happen with the mail,
You win. It's eye for an eye situation, not in a
Yeah.
spiteful way, and more of a fate kind of reared
Well,
her ugly
fate
head.
after one eye gets hit first, and then the other eye. One person
So we're
chose to
back to an
hit.
eye for an eye
Yeah, we are. We
in a strange
are.
way.
But the eyes didn't just happen to get hit. One person decided to hit another
It
person's
was a
eye.
purposeful, right?
Yeah. I mean, but like it's what
Well,
like
I
we
don't think,
said, we invited each other, and it just
yeah,
happened
and
in the
fate,
mail. Yeah,
right?
fate. And speaking of national government, the U.S. gold medal, gold medaled twice.
Yeah, they did in hockey.
The women's and the men's won both times, beating Canada both times in overtime. Both times very exciting to watch, great hockey. One of the times felt a little different. Within about 5 minutes of the dub,
Yeah.
should we just maybe talk about? Do you want to talk about the hockey first, or do you want to talk about the reality first?
I think we talk about the hockey
Okay.
and we can talk about the reality of it, of course. Yeah, because it's yeah, let's get going with the hockey first, which I will say this. I think that we got best case scenario for the best hockey being played. Even though I do feel the U, and I think a lot of people felt the U.S. really got outplayed in those last two periods,
Yeah.
pretty badly. But I, it, we're the thing is the four teams on the board here, I think, are Finland, Sweden, U.S. and Canada, and all of those teams are essentially one goal away from any fate because Sweden takes the Canada, Sweden takes the United
The
States
US,
to overtime.
yeah.
That so very easily could have been Sweden Canada, and then the Canada Finland to get into that gold medal game is 2-0 Finland at a certain point, 2-2, 2-1 pretty late, and they wind up losing 3-2 on a late goal. I do think that these four teams are close. I think that Canada is far and away the best hockey team, both on paper and what I saw in that Olympics. But the US win is pure. That's hockey, baby. It really is that kind of goaltending plays such an important aspect of it. And we talked about those Islanders Trots teams. There is a respectability to bend not break hockey.
Oh
There is,
yeah. Oh
because
yeah.
they really, MacKinnon and McDavid, they kind of got shut down 5-on-5. They had their moments.
Yeah.
McDavid had that breakaway stick handled into Hellebuck. MacKinnon, after they tied it up, fired one just over the net that I've seen him score from that spot so many times. Obviously, oh, 3-on-3 overtime is what it is, but I do think that we got the best hockey possible with still the caveat of the US got outplayed a good bit. But it's absolutely kind of it's very telling of goaltending being so important.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the all the goaltending is voodoo crap is so fucking, it's always been so annoying, so lame. And it's one of those things where like I'm hoping see that many people seeing arguably the best goaltend like one like single game goaltending
Yeah,
performance
definitely.
ever, like maybe in context of stakes of save, time in game, all that stuff. I think the
You know
fact and
what?
the fact that he made the breakaway saves on McDavid and
Shelberny too.
Celebrini, and you can argue like, oh well, they didn't even like when a goalie is that locked in. You can factor in how comfortable shooters look when they're coming in on someone, what they think they can get away with, they're overthinking, all that stuff.
I want to touch on the goaltending is voodoo thing because I think I just unlocked something in my brain a little bit, which is the thing that I always say about goal scorers that are so streaky. It is such a 1-to-1, I think. And I just think the streaks are longer and
Yeah.
they're a lot more amplified, and they're already amplified within these guys that score 30, 40 goals, where you're like, this guy has disappeared for 2 weeks. And Hellebuck's the guy that, like, I don't think we can say goaltending is voodoo, but I think we can say it's streaky, and it's very mental, as is goal scoring. So it's a really right place, right time for him too, because we've seen him implode in the playoffs.
Yeah, that was rough last year was, I think, the rough. I know the Avalanche had that one where they lit him up, but that the hockey of that series felt so like all over the place, whereas the games with the Blues, the series last year with the Blues felt more pronounced, the game tilting on mishaps from him.
Yeah, 100%. Now, to still dig into the hockey of it all, we obviously share we share a similar opinion of kind of the politics at large of guys on Team USA is a little rough. I also think the way that they play hockey is a little rough in this sense of like. I like that. I do think there's something here with they are rambunctious and obnoxious, both on and off the ice. The Canadians are a little bit more. I've no doubt in my mind that these guys share a lot of similar conservative politics. I do think the way that they kind of present themselves and go about it is different in the same way that they go about and play hockey. Just as a team, even. And I like that Canada had the one line that essentially, I don't mind obnoxious hockey. I think it's really fun to watch a lot of the time. I don't love basing your whole game off of it, purely from a spectator standpoint. I do love the idea that you have a line that will be that exactly that energy. And you kind of juxtapose it with the, a McDavid, MacKinnon, Celebrini line
Yeah,
of,
yeah. It's very
and
wrestling. It's very wrestling. Like as you talk about it, just opposites.
so I get why a lot of people from our corner of the world are not only annoyed, but it's also kind of I kind of hate the way that this team is built and the way that they play hockey kind of thing.
Yeah,
Which,
and
to their
it's what,
credit, they
yeah.
it's partly why they won, partly that on top of goaltending. I say partly because a big part of that hockey is goading people into taking penalties, and I don't think they were successful in that kind of. I think they were being outplayed so much against Canada those
Yeah.
last 2 periods that they didn't touch the puck enough to do that successfully. But you saw them do it against other. It's what the Kachucks do so well. It's what Brad Marchand does so well. Tom
Yeah.
Wilson, who I really love the way that Tom Wilson played in that. I think of all of the guys when I look at Team Canada, Team USA, and it's like there's a couple standout guys. Tom Wilson might have been my biggest standout guy. I'm like, I really like the way that he played in moments.
Well, yeah, from a hockey standpoint, I kind of liked that. As annoying as 3-on-3 is, I feel like the way the game ended, there is, I feel like there's no, if like no serious person, I think, can scapegoat any one part, like one part. And the example I'm going to use is that, like, on one hand, it ending on 3-on-3 is less than ideal. However,
definitely,
the game, it feels like a game with the caliber of skill that was in that game, I would rather it have ended that way. I don't, I'm,
maybe if it went on a little longer, I know what you're trying to say.
Compared to if the game had ended on, you know, a stupid, on either the Tom Wilson penalty or the Jack Hughes penalty.
I agree with that.
Thereafter, because that would have just felt so fucking typical. Like that would have felt typical. I like that it didn't have an easy, oh, that's why this team won or lost. People can make their case for it. I know there's some aspect of, well, it's good that they brought, you know, Trocheck and JT Miller because the PK was perfect. Or you can't say anything about, you know, or the Crosby excuse. You know, he wasn't in the game, which is a valid thing that he didn't play. But like, all of that to say, I think the game played out for how long we've waited for a game like that. Because it feels like when Patrick Kane first broke in, that felt like the first guy, first American player in a while at that point that you could argue was on a level of Canadian skill.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? And you've seen the game grow that much in the 20 years almost since he got drafted. You've seen American rosters grow. And even in 2010, that was a great game. But that was like, that was a very, you know, torch coated
definitely. Look at
hockey,
that
where,
roster.
Where,
think about
where
the way they played.
This is much more like, oh, you know, we've waited this long for this. I'm glad that it played out the way that it did as far as quality. Which is all to say that it makes that much cornier when you have the FBI boss get brought in, the podcasters. We could have gone, you know,
yeah,
government, man. We made a mistake 5 years ago. Cash is the same as us Islander fans on podcasts, you know? And then what happened? That could have been us. That could have been us, man. But so corny. It's just, and it's everything about it so fitting. The more that comes out about it, it's the story. I, right now we're recording. It's 8:09 p.m. So I'm not sure if they've asked the Tkachuk brothers to get a Let's Go Ice chant started yet, or that might be probably, I think that's the 9 o'clock hour. They're saving that one. But it makes it that much more annoying. You knew it was coming. If you were a smart enough person, you knew it was coming, but every little bit that's come out has just made it that much more like, all right, these guys are who we think they are. And they are going to unironically accept this and complain about the politicization of anybody reacting to any aspect of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really tired. Like our read on it is tired because the thing itself is so tired. We're everyone saying the same thing in one big circle.
It's the 10-year anniversary tour of 2016, so you know it makes sense. Everything about this is we're taking this ride again, or we're just kind of like AI. We are just throwing things that have already happened together and feeling them, which is kind of annoying because it's extra annoying because I don't want to be talking about this shit on a hockey podcast. But because hockey chooses to cater to this, it and engage with this, I have to react to it. And like, I just want to say that if you're somebody that is complaining about people taking political issue with this, and the crux of your argument is, yeah, but it's just hockey. You literally don't understand how intellectual discourse works. I don't respect you, and I'm just happy that you will be angry at reality, like even as it appeases your dumb ass as time goes on.
There is a big difference between being invited to the State of the Union and a kind of superficial ceremony where a leader of a country presents the team that won with like a nice picture and, you know, a little commemorative placard or
There's going to
something
be
like that.
heinous shit said, and there's going to be heinous shit said about ICE, about people who have been killed by ICE,
Yeah, while these people are in attendance, 100%. Yeah,
and then
and
Quinn Hughes is going to go to Minnesota.
them being there is essentially an endorsement of, it's not an endorsement of like a, it's not a celebration of the country. It's an endorsement of one of the two sides of the country, because that's where we're at. That's 100% where we're at. And I don't know if these guys are smart enough to realize that. I think some of them are. I think the Tkachuk brothers, maybe they know why
They
they're
know. Oh no,
there.
they're hyped. They're hyped about it.
I would not be surprised if a couple of these guys are just like, of course, the president, you know, they don't think about it. It's
No,
just not on their
I think
radar.
they all know about it. Some are just willing to go along with it because they don't want to get into a fight with anybody about it. They don't want to have the
Yeah.
argument. They don't want to rock the boat, and they will try to, in their head, reconcile not being a prop while literally being pointed to as if you are a prop, as if you are a prop. So I you know, and all of this to say, shout out the women's team who is not going.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely want something that I thought do while watching the games is, you know what? Shit, I need to start walking the walk about this. Let me try to catch a Sirens game. They play a lot of games at the Prudential Center, but there is a game. I'm looking it up right now. They are playing a game at MSG. And I am interested in going. I don't know if you're a
Absolutely
true
not.
ally, Mike, and will be there. But
I like women's hockey.
you'll
They're
get to see if you
fine.
decide to be an ally. Okay, let me know if
Let
you
me know
look
when
for.
it is, if it's convenient for me to be.
Wow, so it's about what works for you. A little
Is
self-centered,
good
don't you think?
podcasting. This is good
Yes.
podcasting.
Oh, so Saturday, April 4th.
April 4th, I've got plenty of time to prep for this.
Plenty of time. It's 8 p.m., so you have plenty of time to fly in from Suffolk County. Yeah, as long as you're not, afraid of New York City, the commie
I'm scared of New
corridor
York City.
over here, yeah, you know. But I think I would recommend people, if you want to just don't want to be stuck in discourse loops forever and want to actually do stuff, you should go to games and actually support this stuff live. Same as we say with music. If you want this stuff to survive and stick around and grow, you have to go.
I think that that is a fool's errand to think it will. I'm partly kidding. Partly. Women's hockey may be a better shot. There's more money in it. So I think we've kind of said our piece regarding
It's time to talk
that
about the
aspect.
Islanders, baby.
Yeah.
It's time to talk about the Islanders. And it's funny. I had this first bullet that I have for the Islanders stretch run watch here is trade watch. Yet you guys knew it was coming. Rumors of a trade with St. Louis Blues, and my God, they did it. They got Matt Loff.
Yeah.
Josiah Love, is that the correct name?
I want to say I recognize him from
I want to say his name's Matt.
I want to say I recognize his name a bit just from having to watch the Blues watching the Avs a bit. But
yeah, I bet.
Who did they trade for him? They traded Gauthier.
Julien Gauthier. The goat is no longer with us.
Yeah. I don't have a lot to say with this one.
Because that wasn't the actual.
What was the call in the Super Bowl? I got nothing for you here.
Oh yeah, yeah.
When what's his face threw the interception right as they were kind of talking about how he was starting to get on a roll.
Yeah,
I got
nothing
for you here.
There is dead air for a good while, and then I got nothing for you here. That was great. See, and that was great thinking back about Trotz era hockey. We love talking about the games, especially national broadcasts, where they have no like deep, like long-standing familiarity with the Islanders or what's going on with them. And there is that one, the first ever Sorokin shutout was a 2-0 win against the Sabres with no fans in attendance. Islanders went up 2-0 the first 10 minutes, and there was nothing to comment on.
Is
the whole
that,
game.
No, you know what? That game he technically got scored on, but it was disallowed too. That's the one thing I remember from that game.
Oh, okay. So something almost happened.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Something almost happened, and then it was promptly
unhappened.
Reversed. Yeah.
Well,
nothing can happen. Yeah. Here.
Well, because the bigger thing though is that there have been rumors in Islanders world leading into the break and during the break. The spicier one, of course, Jordan Kyrou rumors.
Is that spicier than Bunting?
I think it's. I mean, it's higher in the lineup for sure.
Yeah.
And that was Mike Rupp, I believe, said it on Daily Faceoff. And Rupp, somebody that has sources, obviously, he's a bit more connected. And the context of what he said was that he thinks that a Kyrou trade in general is looking likelier, looming, and that the Islanders are one of the teams that's the type of guy, whenever there's a guy that's would be a top of lineup guy, but also has big AAV end term, that tends to be more of an easier to do at the draft than it is in season. But he said that the Islanders, the combination of the Avs, either the Avs pick or the Isles pick this year, and Yzerman could probably get it done. But Bunting, apparently right before Trotz was let go as GM there, that trade was very close, according to Elliot Friedman, to happening.
Do we know what was going to go back the other way?
That hasn't been brought up. You know,
picks. I bet it was picks.
It probably was picks. I don't think Darsh is going to trade any of the guys he just picked. And
yeah,
short of even then, even with like a Robertson, I think like he would be very cautious to do that.
Yeah.
Or he'd be very selective there. Because other than Yzerman, there aren't that many like quote unquote Lou guys that are like big value. We've heard good things about Quinn Finley. We've heard good things about Danny Nelson, but like, I don't know that any of, I don't know that there's.
That might just be inside of the world of the New York Islanders and their fans.
Yes, exactly. And that's a guy that gets, you know, those are levels of guys that are nice to do. And usually that's the level of prospect that you dig into when it's like several pieces of are going back and forth type of guy. Islanders in general seem to be looking west. I'm curious what your thoughts are, but both of those guys, and as a Avs primary fan, are there guys in the west beyond them that you think are fits that have either been in rumblings or like this year, or just generally speaking are thought to be out there?
Yeah. So Kyrou, I've kind of been, I just feel like he's been on the block for like 4 years. And I think that there's
Zegras watch. He's the new Zegras.
Yeah. That's actually a compelling argument as to why you pull the trigger. Cause Zegras is worked out. And I wonder if this is something that could work out, but I also am a little bit weary of been on the block for so long, and maybe there's a reason for that. And I think in those instances, the best thing you can do is send back your project, right? I've long said that, like, I you know, it's a little bit more high profile, I think, but like, I'm trying to think of a good example of a good example of project for project was it's on the tip of my tongue right now. It'll come back to me. You know, just two guys that need a change of scenery ultimately. I'll tell you exactly what it was, and I'm sorry that it's an Avs thing again, but it was Casey Jesus Mittelstadt fuck. And Bo Byram, to a certain extent. Who by for what it's worth, Bo Byram, I'm going to circle back on in terms of. I know that the handedness isn't exactly what you're looking for, but I do think that he's a guy that has got a higher ceiling in terms of potential that you might want to try and target. So yeah, and again, I watched the Blues play the Avs a ton. Kyrou is never one of those guys that I'm scared when he has the puck, to be completely honest with you. But could be a change of scenery situation. Bunting is really interesting to me, especially. I want to look at that contract really quick.
He's an expiring UFA, I believe.
Especially in this kind of.
I could be wrong. Am I wrong or am I right?
You gotta think it's a late pick. I think you're right. And you gotta think. I'm gonna look it up again. Bunting, because you said that and I X'd out and. Signed a 3-year deal in 2023, so that would mean that it's donezo, next year. So he's interesting to me as a kind of. It feels like the GM thinks they've earned a little bit of help, which is kind of the whole Palat thing too.
Yes,
a little bit,
but didn't they already have Palat? They did. I believe.
No, of course, but I'm saying that's the reason that they grabbed him. The reason that they grabbed him is he feels as if they've earned a little bit of they've earned a little bit of we're gonna get you a little bit of help, because your play has earned it. Bunting's interesting to me. Bunting is interesting to me because I think he's the type of guy. That is good for that kind of playoff run, and I
he's good in. I think that guy. I not to stop, but I think it's like Kyrou is a more interesting need because they do need scoring. They absolutely do need scoring. I think it'll be better for Heinemann finding a consistent groove and not being like the only winger that's had a hot streak of more than a week.
Yeah.
This season, I also think just him getting to slot a little further, him getting to slot in the middle six, I think is better. But with Bunting, that's a player type that they are desperately missing. I don't doubt the effort of the players on this team. But the reality is not enough guys are scoring and there's enough roster spaces here where, you know, one of you's got to get hot and then the other you has to get out. And we need to have guys like that in the lineup because, you know, they're not Kyle McLean's with the puck, but they impress value upon the scope of a game. Even if the passes aren't that crisp, like that's been the biggest thing in the stretch where the vibes have stayed good for the team this season, but you definitely saw it start to slip a bit, and that was because they weren't scoring enough. And then you got to a place where Riddick, they're not scoring enough, and then Riddick starts looking like a backup. The past month or so,
for the most part, and yeah, the crack.
It was starting to create. You were starting to feel kind of that that tension of it. And I think the reality of how hockey works, long seasons and whatnot, is that you need to have, skilled enough grit guys in your middle six that you can affirmatively win ugly games. You know what I mean? Where you can just realize, oh shit, we're not really connecting on passes. Maybe the ice is off, maybe a couple of guys are banged up, and making the game ugly by design and with intent is
He's a guy that,
missing desperately.
I entirely agree with that. It's the rare, shouldn't say rare, but it's the kind of guy that you want that can be a little bit of a disruptor, but also has a bit of an offensive touch. It's kind of a little, it's very much Tom Wilson light. You know what I mean?
I mean, and I think it's like they could stand to, in general, add a couple guys that like the Islanders now, I think, play a style of hockey that is more conducive than the Trotz era, like in terms of being able to build into that, like being able to have more options for how you can win games and build a roster than the Trotz team was kind of locked into how it was going to play and what you were going to add to it, right? I think that said, some of the guys that made that cohesion work, guys like that are needed. Like the You know, we it's so funny. We used to joke about Leo, and it's still so funny that he was a first liner for the Islanders. But
It plays into
he
that thing that my dad always said, which is like, and the more that the older I get, the more I see his point of the like, you just need that balance. You really do. And it's funny in the moment, but it's like the balance is nice to have.
When I go
You
back and
see it
watch
like.
games, you go on YouTube and you watch full games and shit. You watch Komarov piss off like Malkin. You watch him piss off like so many skilled players, and also come up with a big block or a big pass deflection on the penalty kill, and like that's the type of guy that they need. Like they need guys like that desperately on this team. A big example would be Clutterbuck, who Clutterbuck was then and how he played then. They
Totally get it.
desperately need got a couple guys I've had in mind. And one last thing on Kyrou, though. I think if they make a trade for him, if they make a trade and it's like Yzerman and the Avs first, and that gets it done, I'll be super happy. I don't think that'll be enough. I think they'll need
Well, what did Zegras
another.
go for? What did Zegras go for? Let's look that up.
Was Zegras?
Ryan Poehling, a second round pick and a fourth round pick.
It's a
Zegras
little
is
different
capable.
though. But it's a little different because I think Zegras' track record had his numbers were not as good for a couple years before that.
Kyrou's
Whereas,
27 though.
yeah.
I get it. You know what though? You're right. Like for what it's worth, this is and I'm there's a little bit of pie in my face when I look at these stats because I'm the one who is constantly talking about how these guys are so streaky. Kyrou, last 3 years, 37 goals, 31 goals, 36 goals. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing as the Blues getting rid of that player unless you're tearing it down, which I guess they are.
And to me, like
But they
imagining
kind
an
of aren't.
Islanders power, like an out, an Islanders power play that has Schaefer, Kyrou, Horvat, Barzal, and you can play around with who is that fifth guy, who's that net front guy. I wouldn't hate Richie there, to be honest with you. I've loved how he's played,
Yeah, Richie's been great. Richie's
but I think
really been
you
great.
can rotate that part around. I think what that and the Zegras part, the comp, just the similar, when you are being told that you're going to be trade, you're in trade rumors for literally like three fucking seasons or more, and your team is, and I know the Blues made the playoffs last year, but like generally speaking, the vibes are not great for your team. And Kyrou had that big blow at when Berube got fired. Remember, he was like the kind of the guy that was blamed and was booed so badly that he cried after.
I forgot about that.
So it's like, this is a guy that has not wanted to be in this place for a while. I'm open to it. To me, though, he's not of such a level, and the Islanders draft pool is finally in a great place. The Islanders are not in a place now where they need to trade for Kyrou. But
which is
I will say,
when you want to grab him.
Yeah. I just also think that there's an aspect to this, though, that someone in the chat said it, but like, there's also an aspect of this where you're waiting to see what else comes around or opens up this summer. If you don't get any of that and you missed out on the 27-year-old with term that was going to slot right in. So I get that. Two other guys in the West, one, and I guess to get similar pairing here of top of lineup, bottom of lineup guys. For me, a guy I'm really interested in, it might be more of a summer thing, but I think they are more likely to get a better deal if they trade for him now as opposed to letting him hit open market.
Yeah.
Nick Schmaltz, to me, is a guy that I feel like would be a nice additional playmaker for their top six. Like, I think having him, because who knows if Richie's going to amount to being a winger instead of a center.
You never know.
But I think Nick Schmaltz is a guy. I'm not sure if you have much of a read on his game. I've just known him to be a good player.
Yes, I think when you watch his teams play, I do think there's a certain level of there's a certain level of like I've removed myself a lot from reading underlying stats, kind of like enveloping myself in that kind of world, the digital side of hockey, and I really have been a little bit more of the let's go back to basics here and just really take this all in, soak this all in. I thought about something. I was listening to a podcast with I was listening to a movie podcast, and I was listening to a podcast with one of the Safdie brothers, Josh Safdie, speaking about making that Mari Supreme movie. And he's a big Knicks fan. He was talking about watching the Knicks and how he watches sports, and the reason he watches sports is because of the chemistry of the guys. And he said there's nothing like watching a team that is just clicking.
And
it's like there are these weird spots in these seasons where it's, you know, it's hard to get a read on it early on in seasons with groups or after big trades. I think Schmaltz has been kind of a part of the identity of those teams, and I think that that's something. I think there's something there, and I think there's something there when you look at a guy like when the Islanders grabbed the Cal Clutterbuck, where it was like he was kind of an identity guy for the Wild back then, and I think that Schmaltz could take on a similar kind of an identity situation. Where,
but I mean, he's a skill guy, he's not a grit guy.
I understand that. I still do think there's a level of when you're watching these games and you hear that name so much, and he's a guy that you notice is kind of what I'm saying, for one reason or another, and that is the definition of identity. It doesn't always have to be grit. I honestly think. Before we get out of the West, the one other guy that I had always thought fit the Islanders pretty well was Sam Girard, who just got traded today to the Penguins.
Yeah.
Which is a bizarre trade to me. The read is that it's opening up cap space. But I did always see him as a fit for the Islanders, and he's a guy whose name had been in. He took on a similar kind of just when you hear a guy's name over and over, and not even necessarily from management or beat writers or anything like that, but kind of the fans that are like, they should trade Girard, they should trade Girard. Never made sense to me. A good soldier and very skilled, and I thought he would have been a really interesting fit on this Islanders team. But to parallel that and go to the East a little bit too, I do think Bo Byram's interesting. And you know who not defense, but I think is an interesting, you talk about this team needs to score goals, you take a flyer on, could easily be a like, okay, this didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Laine.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that. And to me, there's this thought I have that if...
Is there a rumor there?
I don't know if rumor as much as, like, you know, Stefan Rosner has floated the idea. And I don't know,
I
don't know that there's, you know, that if he's doing that idly or if he's hinting at something, but, yeah. Or just, you know, connecting dots and this understanding that Laine, the price on him is just his cap, you know, is just his cap hit. And there's an aspect to it that if that doesn't cost you anything, do you lose anything in trying him out? And if it really does not work, then you just can him and you let his contract run out. Cause I think this is the end of his deal.
It is.
And so to me, it's like, because if you trade for Kyrou now, you've traded for Kyrou, he's on the team, and you've lost the assets for him. And if it just feels, if he feels good, not great, then you're not shit out of luck, but it definitely, the feeling of, wow, there's more work to do is that okay. Much.
Here's an idea. I like the Kyrou idea.
Yeah.
And you're saying Kyrou in season, ideally.
Yeah.
Even though you
say
these things happen during the draft more often. I say you hope for a Kyrou in season and that you almost hope for a Patrick Laine just can't really put the pieces together this year and he is a UFA and you go, okay, let's offer him a 1 to 2 year deal.
One year, 1.5 mil.
Right. I can't do the cat math on this. I'm merely a suggestion guy.
Yeah.
So I think that's an interesting, you've immediately added a ton of goals. And
potentially, yes.
The assets. Yeah, potentially. In both instances with Kyrou being the kind of like, I did look. He's got 13 goals this year. We still got some time left, but it looks like it's probably going to be.
He's having a down year. He's having a down year, which might help the
trade for him.
Yeah.
Trade for him now, I think, actually.
27
years old.
Yeah.
I think trade for him now. And Laine, it's interesting to me. It is.
One down the lineup guy that I just feel like, man, and I think he's a UFA, so if they don't trade for him, you can always get him in the off season, but Ryan Lomberg feels like he would be a great fourth liner for this team. He'd be great in that he's almost like a hybrid Cizikas, you know, he's kind of a hybrid Cizikas Clutterbuck type of player.
Totally.
But just as a winger.
So that, let's say that's three. Who comes out of the lineup?
Is McClain
a regular right now? Not really.
If you got what three?
If you got Laine, Kyrou, Lomberg.
I don't think you're getting Laine and Kyrou. I think if anything, I could see you adding two.
Right.
I see you adding two. I think I think there's a chance Drew Ann would be going the other way in a deal that involves cap. I don't know to who that or Duclair. It's easy. I mean, they both have the same amount of time.
Duclair's hot right now.
Duclair has. Duclair, I believe, has more goals this year. Like I think that's one guy. Although arguably he's not even in the lineup. I think Kyle McClain goes out of the lineup for if you get Lomberg.
Yeah, that's
but
easy.
That's why I go defense. It's funny you bring up defensemen.
It's a whole other conversation.
I think. I mean, we're tight on time. We're gonna move along. But with defense, to me, it's this funny thing where the Islanders' defense, to me, inarguably has more work to be done. Not more. More is a strong word. There's less spots. It feels a little more glaring. Whereas I don't think, a thing I've said on the pod this season is, I think the Islanders' defense is half and half, and the bad half of it has given you as much as you could ask of it, I think, reasonably speaking. As far as the ones that have played, I know Romanov had a bad year and bad month and then was out. But I think Mayfield has given you what you arguably could ask of him this year.
Soldier.
D'Angelo, different type of soldier.
Alex Jones.
Different type of soldier.
Patriot.
Yeah. and you know, the amalgamation of what they've tried on the left third side now with Carson Soucy is it's fine. I don't love it. I don't love any of it, but it's given you enough. It's a little harder, I think, to make fits work there. There's a lot more juggling that's going to probably have to go on and decisions to be made in the off season with regards to that. And ultimately, they have a defense. The defenseman and the goalies are in lockstep, and I think introducing something. Islanders' margins are too thin to, I think, tinker that greatly there in season. Mm-hmm. Let me see here.
Yeah, I see what you're saying about the D, where it feels like so much of a project. It's almost like when you're working on two different things, and it's like, I just need to finish a couple little things here. You're working on two songs concurrently, and you're I just need to fix this verse. And a couple of things in this bridge, and then the other song is this is just a thing for a whole other day.
Yes. Oh, exactly. And that's exactly it. And that's what the Islanders' defense is like. We don't need to work on. Yeah, I mean, technically, we do in the grander scheme need to work on this now, but it seems like this can rest like this for now. I will say that I don't feel great going into the playoffs. Will be very telltale for that second half of the D. It's a lot easier to get exposed, and I think those players, the 200-foot game of the forwards and the coaching of Wah, is going to have to navigate because it's going to be they're going to get exposed there a lot faster. In a situation where they're playing the same team over and over again, it's a different ball game.
Yeah, it becomes a chess game between coaches to a certain extent, and there's only so much you can do if some of your pieces are broken.
Rest versus rust coming out of the break right now.
They needed rest. I think that this is a. Like, if we're looking at the rest of this outline, rest versus rust, I think they needed rest, and I think that it's going to be really helpful for them. Where do you stand there?
I agree, but it is one of those things. They clearly were gassed towards the end there. Schaefer definitely looked like he was starting to just have pucks kind of flub off of his stick. It was clear that the mental and physical fatigue, I think, was getting to him, understandably so. And I think the players playing hard playing despite production being down, you know, having a lot of games that they've just had to gut through, and that's not their game. You know, this roster is not built to be gutsy. Remember the thing the first like month and a half of the season was that they were leading in rush chances and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And that's dried up, and how much of that is just dried up on the basis of, oh, Schaefer's starting to wear a little bit, and he's also starting to get sussed out a little bit. Teams are starting to scout him a bit more. And
he's getting used to a full NHL season too.
And some guys just not clicking. And some guys just not clicking. Yeah. Horvat having two stretches where he was out for 3 months. 3 months, sorry, 3 weeks at a time. You know, I think it's definitely clear that they a pause and they went into the break strong. I will say my one thought is that the guys that need to pick their shit up, they all need to look like they've come out of training camp. Like they need to look ready and locked in, because the flip of that is that I think I am hopeful that Sorokin is locked in. I'm a little worried about too much rest and maybe having to get into a rhythm a little bit. But
yeah,
I think ultimately if the Islanders even win a round, it is going to mean
that's massive. If they get into the playoffs, it's massive because of Schaefer and if they win a round, that
it's going to need that though. It's going to need a lot of those other guys.
Yeah.
It's going to need Lees, the Pajots, Heinemann, Holmstrom,
Drouin, Duclair. It's going to have to be a little magical.
You're going to need a lot more from those guys. You're going to need a lot more from the guys that aren't the capital T, capital G, the guys.
Okay, so who's the guy, like, looking at your outline, who's poised to be the home stretch hero?
I would love for it to be Andrews Lee. I think all the talk about, you know, the Islanders need to trade him. They need to trade Pajot.
It's never going to happen.
It's not going to happen. These guys at worst will be their own acquired rental, like incumbent rentals.
If they lose every game from now until the trade deadline, Pajot goes, Lee doesn't. That's my guess. But
it would literally take that. But I think Lee, I would like to think this rest getting, he knows what's at stake here for him and for the Islanders. He's finally seeing this, everything that he has sat through with the Islanders. He was drafted by Garth Snow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, wow.
He was drafted by Garth Snow, and I think Scott Gordon may have still been the coach when he was drafted.
You were at the game with his first goal. I think me and Scott. I was not.
An old band of mine, though. I was in an interview with. Do you remember the Guns show on Adobe Radio? Do you remember this name at all?
I think the name sounds a little familiar.
But yeah, I was watching that game while being interviewed.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched a game while on stage? Had it off to the side. I've done this.
I thought about doing it during the home opener this season, but then before we went to play, they were already doors opened and game started and the Islanders are down 1-0 a minute in, and I said, let me not put this on my brain. We're about to play to a lot of people. And it was a good call because the show rocked. But and then it was just like, and seeing everybody's in every Islander chat I'm in, just being like, oh my god, what is happening? And then Schaefer scores, and they're happy for a minute. But one thing before we just get to the final big question of the pod was the power play recovery, especially because the Islanders' power play coach is the Avs' old power play coach. What do you think is the Islanders' power play this year more of a reflection of, the system or the personnel?
It's the personnel. I think it was the opposite. I think it's such a fine in between for this guy, where mm-hmm. I think it was the opposite on the Avs. The Avs had a really good power play at one point, and it kind of right now it's horrible. Hackstall is their power play coach. It's last in the league. They have far and away the best record and the worst power play.
That's crazy.
With that personnel, it's legitimately insane. And I think that the biggest fault of the power play the last few years for the Avs was, while he was the coach, was that it kind of failed in big moments. So I don't want to call it unsuccessful entirely, like it is right now. I think it's a personnel thing because I've seen it work. And I think about, obviously, you know, let's think about it one-to-one to a certain extent. And they love the bumper thing, and the Avs always loved that. That bumper play is huge and has tied a lot of games for them, or won a lot of games for them late on the power play. Horvat at the bumper, that's great. That's good. Schaefer to quarterback, you know, in place of a Makar, I think is like, there'll be growing pains a little bit, but like, yeah, yes, 100%. Like that's not going to be I'm sure there's stuff that he is going to figure out and get better at, but I don't think that's the core of the issue.
He's got to just own the puck more.
That's a growing thing. I really do. I think it's a growing pain because he has the seeing eye shot. He has the seeing eye shot that Cale Makar has.
Amazing.
It's stupid that I was never taught it like this or it phrased like this. I see broadcasts highlighting it so often now more than anything is you need to take that shot from the point because it opens up everything else. It immediately becomes a threat. And to have Schaefer as the threat, so that way it opens up the stuff down low, that's huge. Here's the big issue, I think. The big issue is McKinnon loves to, and you saw in the Olympics, throw that puck in dangerous areas across the ice. And it's like jarring to a certain extent. It makes your heart fucking skip, but he's got that kind of, you know, you have to live dangerously if you want to reap the rewards to a certain extent. Islanders just don't have that, like, they don't have the balls, they don't have the balls to do that. Barzell's in the spot on the power play where he's one of the guys that can. He's constantly kind of going back and forth with Schaefer, point back to Barzell, back to, you know.
Yeah.
They need to open up that cross ice, and that opens up an option, and they need to, like you said, he needs to own the puck a little bit more. And the other thing is, like, these things are fluky and shaky and streaky. And I think it's a little bit of that, and it's a little bit personnel. Barzell, yes, is it's not like he doesn't belong on that first power play, in my opinion.
He needs to be much less important. He needs to be far less important to it, though.
Yeah,
to me, Barzell's at his best on in general. I know, like, Barzell's zone entries are a huge part of his game.
Oh, yeah.
His stick handling, a huge part of his game. And zone entry is huge on the power play. I would argue that can be that's enough of a role. When they're in the zone, I like him best when the puck is on and off of his stick pretty quickly, in terms of puck gets kicked to him and he already, you know, within the stride of receiving it, has sent it either to the bumper or sent it down low, and now it's a 2-on-1, you know, tapping,
yeah,
like backdoor thing.
That.
He, when he's holding the puck too long and deciding functional. I think the thing though, they need that to have that cross seam guy,
cross ice threat, yeah.
You need to either you're rearranging the power play for Barzell to be on the right hand side, so he's even less of a shooting threat because he's on that side of it, or
You need a big.
Or you need a left hand, or you need a lefty shot. And that's one of the things that that's one of the reasons I'm into Robertson quite a bit. Because
Wow.
to me, if,
Thank
well, that and
you.
the nationalism, but
Wise
the,
to if
if,
you could get,
oh
yeah.
yeah, that too. Yeah, that too. But if you had a lefty shot, I saw Dahlin do this in the Olympics quite a bit, was, he's cutting in, so you have to respect his shot. And because it's a lefty passing across his body to another lefty, you have that
Yeah.
one time option. And I just think that, like, that makes, I don't know, I just feel like they kind of need that shape, and that personnel style works so great. But unfortunately, Adrian Kempe and everybody else that's actually a first liner is not a free agent, and there will be no first liner free agents for the next 7 years, probably.
Patrick Laine.
Maybe, maybe. We're coming up to it real quick here,
Speaking
so
of,
yeah. What?
I was gonna say, speaking of, the quick look ahead to they play Montreal, but
Oh
and I think he might
yeah.
be back from injury. We kind of talked about this a little bit. What's, in my opinion, what's the successful result, season result? And it's if they make the playoffs, that's huge. And if they win a round, it's massive. And then
So
you're playing with house money. Like,
on
who the
one
fuck knows
hand,
what happens?
I would say I used to think, if you asked me after the road trip, I would say playoffs, absolutely. But the fact that they have, and even though that was probably the peak of their like peak performance for them this season, I think that now, because they have stayed in the picture, and with Crosby's injury, they better overtake the Penguins. I'm of the mind that, will it be disappointing if they just make the playoffs and lose in the first round? I'd say, yeah, I'll be disappointed from the standard that had been set and the potential that could have been for this season.
Yeah.
Because to me, I'll be most satisfied if things are not just a moral. Because to me, just making the playoffs is a moral victory. Winning a playoff round, to me, is an actual victory, and that's how I would put it. Because to me, like, them winning a playoff round almost definitely means Sorokin had a lights out playoff round. It almost definitely means that Horvat and like the Capital core. The capital T, capital G, the guys showed up big. Most importantly, Schaefer. And
Yeah.
there's an aspect of having, when we don't know what's going to happen with Lee and Pageau, my hope has always been that these guys would not go out sad. And getting to
Yeah.
see them have a handshake line on the victorious side for the first ever, first ever UBS Arena, playoff round, victory advancement. That would be great.
Yeah. Of course. So they'd, in my head, I don't know. Well, the Penguins just grabbed Sam Girard, and that's only going to be a net positive, I think. I don't know what the status of Crosby is, but if the Islanders kind of hold it together where they're at, they'll probably wind up being a two or three in the division. They're either going to play the Penguins or probably the Capitals. I know the Jackets are hanging around right now, but I think that's a little bit of new coach magic.
Oh yeah.
But so, you're looking at either a Penguins or a Capitals series, I think. Two teams that are beatable, like, anyone. I'd say the only unbeatable team that they would have to play is if they fall to an eight and they have to play the Lightning, who are just like lights out right now. But that could be a little biased because they're just going fucking nuts ahead of
Yeah.
the Olympic break. Or the Hurricanes, who are basically a poison to the Islanders.
And I kind of like the idea of ending that shit. I'd
Of
love to
course.
dispel that. Like, the one game they've had against each other so far this year was kind of still the early goings of, like, oh wow, this team's a fucking mess right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
100%.
I think the quick look ahead this week is I am planning on recording. I am going to the Islanders Kings game. Lauren and I are going to LA.
Your wife, not mine.
Correct. And so I am planning on recording before I leave for that, because did you know that while I'm there, that game is the night before the trade deadline? It's
Really?
that close. It's that close. Yes. So
Your poor
that's
wife,
why
man.
I only I oh yeah. Oh yeah. And I'm gonna be going to Matthew McConaughey's dispensary before.
Oh, really? That's
Yeah,
kind of
so
fun.
I'm gonna be having zoomies for sure.
I have a Matthew McConaughey movie for you that I don't know, I'm not sure that you've seen, but it is so bizarre in its like racial politics that I think you'd
Oh,
be
I think I know what you're going
fascinated
to
by it.
say.
A Time to Kill. Do you
That's
know what
the where
this movie
he's a
is?
lawyer, right?
He's a law. It's like set in the sticks in the South during
I'm
like
pretty
the
sure there's a com there's a co there's like
'60s.
a there's a there's a come town, like not even a bit, where they just go into how crazy,
It's the craziest
like
thing in the entire
the how
world. And
crazy the narrative is, especially the way certain ideas are presented in a
oh,
very
100%. And the ending is the craziest thing of all that I don't even want to say until you've seen it, because
Yeah.
you'll fucking lose it. Like I but it's I mean, it's really good in it, and the movie is like perfect trash, but it's a crazy movie. You should watch right before. You should watch it while you're violently high, right before heading into McConaughey's dispensary. He's one of the good guys, for what it's worth. At least he's one of the good guys in the movie.
And the last bit on the look ahead here, this is the first showdown with the former large son himself, Noah Dobson, which is our latest, the beef with Canadiens fans that has happened since this trade, and it come wow, that coming right after the Olympics. It's just dawning on me now that Twitter during that is going to
Oy.
be quite the place. I am going to be fighting on all sides, I imagine, for my life in that scenario.
Here's what I'm gonna say about Dobson. It looks like I'm looking at his last five games. You know, we don't look at plus minus a ton. He's either a plus or a zero in all of these games, and he's either scored a point in them or 2 points. I think he's on a little bit of a heater right now.
He is
This
a he that's a situation for him that is perfect, because he does not need to be the guy. They already
100%.
had Hudson and they had Matheson,
Yeah.
so it's not like they had a perfect player, two different defensemen that
He is.
he can play with.
I know he did. He got hurt last year, but he is 1 point shy of his total from last year.
The Islanders getting Heinemann, Aitchison, and Eklund for
Oh, it's
Dobson.
great.
There's no regrets. I don't Dobson. My whole thing is it's not blind hate to hate this guy, because we are. I mean, I don't think you hate him, but he definitely gave such shit, lackluster efforts. He clearly was having a miserable time playing for this team. And when a guy like that is asking for north of 10, maybe $11 million,
Yeah.
no, that's not going to happen.
Especially
And
after that year, yeah.
especially after that year, especially when there is so much more that this t Islanders team needs before giving that type of money to that type of player. I'm not sure that you ever would give it to that player unless you're in a situation where the Habs already have so many different parts of their roster, like for the next, 5 to 10 years, locked in already. Not the case for the Islanders. And Dobson, the vibes part of Dobson is a
It's a
huge reason why he's not there.
situational. It's also a
Great
situational.
situational fit for him.
Yeah. I think the Dobson thing also is where he falters is situational, and it's big moment. It is the stadium series moment. You know what I mean?
Oh
It's
yeah.
stuff like that.
Playoffs, yeah. Oh, it's that. It's crunch time, and the same way that the Islanders' defensive liabilities are going to be exposed in the playoffs, it's the same thing for Dobson. I think I just points wise for this little stretch here, Montreal, Columbus, Florida, gotta get at least three. I think you're gunning for four. You're gunning for 4 points there, especially because there's a back to back. But I think anything less than three, though, is a problem, especially because we don't know how serious Crosby's out injury is. But for him to not play in the gold medal game, when they had so many different people that were like looking into making custom casts for him or whatever to play and supports, take advantage, make up some of the time, the well, not some of the ground you lost. You literally lost ground to the Penguins. This is a good time to eat. I think
I agree.
I think that's a good place to leave it. And I it's a shame we didn't get to talk about how maybe Schaefer and Pellick being there instead of Makar and Taves probably wins Canada the gold, but I guess it just goes to show you what happens if you choose the Avalanche over the Islanders for your loyalty. What
Man,
happens to someone, It's interesting.
I think
Don't you think
that
it's interesting?
I think they should have taken Schaefer.
Yeah,
And I think
Pellick
that
and maybe Makar and Taves to
I don't
him.
know. I don't know if they were for Makar. He had the only
Yeah.
goal in the
Yeah.
let's
He
wrap
can
this
wait his
up,
turn.
and I'll say that perhaps if you'll have me back, I'll be back after the trade deadline or somewhere around there.
We'll see. It's you can podcast with the like just with the extras. We're having you do I'll have you doing reps, with Kyle McLean, Mark Gatcombe, taking shots of skating with Varley and Romanov, non-con. Yeah, no, for sure, absolutely. Especially because I'm trying to do this on a weekly basis, but I kind of do like the frantic energy of having other people rotate in, so I do need to have a
You've been
deep
doing some
roster.
solo pods too, which is just like God, the craziest thing in the world. No,
Yeah,
like with
I'm trying to think
with
if I've
all
done
respect
more than
being said.
one. I'm trying to think if I've done more than one, but it's
I know you
definitely
did one
been crazy
and
to do it. Yes, I think I have done. I have done a couple,
you've done a couple. Yeah, which is
and
just,
it's madness. Oh, it's mad. I'm just sitting here by myself. It's usually late. I'm talking loudly. I wonder if I have neighbors that hear me because the door is right there. Yeah, it's just this is a podcast. And 100 episodes of staring into the abyss, and here's to a thousand more, through the island, 1,000. Where will we be? There's probably only going to be working civilization. How many more seasons of the podcast do you think there's going to be running water? Three?
Well, I was gonna double up and say six.
Six? Yeah, if we can get 6 more solid years of water,
Society.
that's enough for there to be an Isles Cup. And at the end of the day,
Definitely. I definitely think that. I definitely do think
at the
that.
end of the day, it's about winning the cup before, like we've always said, it's about winning the cup before the sun explodes or we bring the explosions here,
I think it's more likely going to be the latter.
Yeah, it's looking pretty cool. I
First,
think I
yeah.
oh yeah no he actually just announced that
Oh, good.
and
Right, because he's got
yeah.
his. He's doing. Okay, I got it. Well, I think we both have to go tune in for that. So.
Sounds good. Yeah, I got to make sure that everybody's clapping.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Good pod.
Later.